This is an interview with Governor Victor Atiyeh at his office in downtown Portland, Oregon. The interviewer for the Oregon Historical Society is Clark Hansen. The date is February 1, 1993. And this is tape 18, side B. Well, you just got back from a trip, didn't you, from St. Louis to the Republican National?
Yep. My first meeting as a national committee man.
Your first meeting as a national committee man?
Yeah. I've been to a lot of meetings, political meetings, but this first time as a national committee man.
Huh?
And it was interesting. We'd gone through a whole cycle of maybe, well, it was 12 years. We had a Republican president, and the president was really picking the chairman of the national committee. Clearly, we don't have a Republican president, so everybody was kind of excited about the fact we're going to be able to pick. We're going to pick one. It was kind of interesting. And there were five candidates. A fellow named Spencer Abraham, who had been chairman of the state party in Michigan, and then most recently, I guess you call him executive of the, what is it called, National Republican Congressional Committee, raising money for the congressional races and that sort of thing. John Ashcroft, who was just retired as governor of Missouri. Haley Barbour had he'd been pretty active. He's in a law firm. He's done some work in Washington, D.C. and in his own state of Mississippi. Craig Berkman, who of course was our Oregon state chairman and businessman, and then Bo Calloway, who had been fairly prominent. He'd been a congressman. He had run and lost. That's out of Georgia. Then I think he'd been state chairman in Colorado and been secretary of defense and that sort of thing. Anyway, went through three ballots. The third ballot, we elected Haley Barbour. Craig withdrew at the end of the second ballot because he really wasn't moving. Matter of fact, he was moving, but he was moving down, not up. And both Ashcroft and Craig withdrew at the end of the second ballot. And then we elected Haley Barbour in the third ballot. And there's a title called co-chair, which is the woman's side of it. And I don't really know. They treat it more like vice chair, but they call it co-chair. And there were four candidates for that. And there was, so we were pretty lucky. We had some good people who wanted to have those offices. And it was interesting. I have to admit I didn't get nearly as a Twitter as a lot of others because, you know, once you've been through these political things umpteen times, it isn't quite nearly as exciting. It was interesting to me to watch some young people first time in, you know, they were working hard, staying up late and doing all the things I used to do. But, you know, it's a different experience. I enjoyed it. I nominated Craig, and by our own rules, that person who nominates, if the candidate wants to withdraw, the nominator does the withdrawing, not the candidate. Huh. So I had the joy of nominating and the unpleasant task of announcing his withdrawal.
Were you supporting him as well?
I supported Craig at a couple ballots, but I really did believe that in terms of what I was looking for, really a good technician, that there were some better candidates than that. And actually Spencer Abraham was the one that I really liked best of all. Haley Barbour's really very good. So when you make a distinction between Spencer Abraham and Haley Barbour, it isn't that broad of difference. But anyway.
What is the activity like? I mean, what kinds of things are going on for
the chair?
For among the candidates for the chair.
Oh gosh, it was something. They all had hospitality rooms. They all had sending out material. Of course, before that, incidentally, I've got a lot of stuff. I'll have you take paper.
Oh,
we'll give it all to the society.
Good.
They'd previously written, they all had plans that let all the delegates know, shaking hands when everybody was together. hospitality in the evening and coffee in the morning, and they were campaigning.
Did Craig feel that he really had an opportunity to Craig Berkman?
Well, I think he knew how difficult it was, and the only thing I'm sure he was thinking of is if they get stuck in dead center, they may look for a compromise candidate. Mm-hmm. But even on the first ballot, he got the least number of votes. He got 10.
Out of how many?
Out of 165.
Oh.
And then on the second ballot, he got 8. So it really, the dynamics was moving away from being a compromise candidate. I had suggested to him he should have plan A and B. A, of course, you continue to stay in the race and do the best you can. B, if it doesn't look like you're going to make it, then you figure out who you think will and throw your support to that person. And he played that game very well. And I am now quoting him because I'm withdrawing his name, and he's saying, and if I had a vote, I would vote for Haley Barbour. And there's a cheer in the background. So he played the game very well.
Hmm. What other roles do the national committee men have in their?
Well, it's very difficult to tell. We deal with rules, but they're pretty well drafted, and they're kind of culminate at the national convention. I suppose ways of raising money, certainly budget. Budget is always a program. And all of these candidates said that we need to get out of the beltway and we need to build at the grassroots. And if you're putting money into programs, then okay, how is that working toward building state parties, county parties, work toward electing city council, county commission, state legislators, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
That's grassroots. And that's the way it ought to happen. Instead of really figuring you're going to build a party from the top down, the only really way you're going to do it is from the bottom up. There is no really other way to do it. It's no different than a campaign. A campaign, the people see a lot of things. Debates, they see the candidates out talking, and they're quoted and all the rest of that. Or maybe lawn signs or billboards or whatever. But campaigns are really won by hard work. Mailings, sorting out addresses, purging lists, meeting people moved, getting phone numbers for a phone bank, just a whole lot of things that people don't see. We're going to get to it. When I ran in 78, I figured that Bob Straub was governor, and being a governor, he could raise money. And my motivation was, I'll try to raise as much as he's going to raise, but I'll beat him with my volunteers. So getting back to what I was just now saying, his grassroots mechanics, Spencer Abraham knew that extremely well. Haley Barbour knows it, not quite as well, but he knows it needs to be done. So back to what you asked about the National Committee, we have to deal with the budget. And I know, having gone through building budgets as a governor, that programs convert to money. You don't say, we're going to raise $4 million, and then now how are we going to spend it? What you do is you figure out what you want to do and see how much that adds up to, which may be the same $4 million. But so you really deal with programs. And now, because we have a new chair and we're running the show ourselves, and we want to go grassroots, we'll be involved in budget. And who knows what else? I haven't been to any non-controversial meetings so far.
Do they deal with issues at all?
Well, really the answer is sort of yes and no. No, in the sense that issues really become platform, and that's where they're formalized.
Mm-hmm.
However, we recognize that we've been pinned with a single issue, which is abortion. And it's not a partisan issue, and we shouldn't be pinned with that. And And so in terms of dealing with issues, I think that part of the program we're talking about and the money we're going to spend is to make sure that the people in the United States understand what we are for and what we're against, and not just zero in and concentrate on abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So to that extent, yes, we deal with issues, but not in a formal sense. The formal sense is a platform.
But in terms of other issues that are confronting the Republican Party, I mean, is it involved at all with the platform that was drafted, or
Platform is a platform. You can't change it till 4 years from now, or less than 4 years now. But anyway, the next time there's a national convention, that's all mm-hmm. written and it's done.
Does that affect where the party stands during that four-year period?
Well, it depends on who you are. Now, let me explain that. I learned, and I didn't know this, the right wing, the religious right wing, they work really hard on the platform. And they certainly work in terms of abortion and some other issues. And I thought, well, okay, I've been on platform committee, you know, I understand all of that. However, their interpretation is a little different. They figure once the platform is written, that's now gospel. And all Republicans should now get behind this platform. And if you don't, you're not really a Republican. Well, I didn't realize that. You know, I thought they were sort of pragmatic like I am. But no, they're not at all.
Did they support the platform in times when it may not have agreed with their own?
That's different. You'll find it interesting. I wanted to meet with the conservatives, and I had by then learned the idea that this is gospel. So I thought, well, I better go get a copy of our platform. You know, nobody reads platforms. Everybody works so hard, and they put so much energy into getting something in a platform. Once all done, press said, for example, the Republicans passed an abortion plank. That's the only plank nobody talks about. So I said, I'm going to get this thing, because these conservative folks believe it's all gospel. And I'm going to read through this platform, and I'm going to say to my, find something that I think they really don't like, or probably would be against. And then I'm going to, when I meet with them, I'm going to say, okay, you told me this. Do you believe in? Well, I did pop it on them, and I said, in there is a sales tax. And I said, now, do you all believe that we ought to have a sales tax? Well, they all didn't think so. Well, how come it's gospel? Once you have to get behind this whole thing. Well, they kind of rationalize a little bit. Anyway, we have to back off. The Republican Party really is the principles of the Republican Party, I've said many, many times, I don't shoehorn myself into the Republican Party. I'm there because the broad philosophy of the Republican Party is one that I believe in. So I'm not forcing myself into it. I happen to believe it. And the in the broadest sense, I think I may have said this before, the Republicans are less willing to have government interference in our lives, and the Democrats are more willing. That's the brush. Now you merge into thousands of different concepts. But that's where we are. We're for fiscal conservatism. We really believe in a strong family, but that's, mm-hmm. you know, it becomes important in the sense that we have to be strong in order to make the nation strong, each one of us. So by and large, we believe in what I think most Americans believe in, but this has not been articulated, neither through Bush's campaign this last time. And we keep getting hammered, you know, that we're the party of the rich, and they're the party of, they mean the Democrats are the party of the common people, which is a lot of, well, I don't want to use that word on tape, but in my own personal experience, they don't deserve the image they have. Again, I think I've said that. And we don't deserve the image we have. Hmm. So we've got an image and we've got to change it.
Well, is there anything else about the construction of the National Committee, which other areas that it might deal in, or other aspects of it that are interesting, or parts of it that we haven't talked about already? That
oh, I don't think so. Uh-huh. It's a. Just a structure. The Democrats have one, the Republicans have one, and the structure and within which you operate as a party. You know, they do things like, I brought back with me, I really haven't read it, but quite a few pages, the title of which is Promises, Promises, and this is Clinton Promises. And they covered it pretty well. Okay, you can look at it and say, well, now he promises, but he's not doing it. And so those are the kinds of accumulated things. The National Party can help with ideas on voter drives and computer work of a variety of kinds, and that's, again, to help the state and county parties. And so there's functioning, there are things to do. Mm-hmm. But no, these are just organizations designed to keep these parties healthy the best we can.
Did you enjoy the experience?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. It's different. It's interesting. I have enough hope that we'll be able to change some of the things that have been going on. And to that extent, I can't put that down. I don't hope it's not too blasé, but you know, I've been to an awful lot of political meetings in my life, from our state conventions to county politics to national conventions, and you know, you get a little more objective. Maybe that's a better word than anything else I could use. You get more objective about what's going on. It was fascinating to me to see young people there that this is their first time. You know, they were staying up late and they were all at Twitter all the time, and I suppose I remember those days, but I wasn't all at Twitter, and I didn't have particular responsibility, and I'd go visit these candidates. I knew them all. Mm-hmm. Howdy them, chat a little bit. They had some hors d'oeuvres or soft drinks. Of course, they had a hard drink too. And nibble here, a little there, and when I got tired, I just went to my room and watched a little television, went to bed. I didn't have to go through all those gyrations that they went through. Matter of fact, they had a meeting Saturday morning. And I didn't even attend that. I just got on a plane and came home. So, yeah, but to the extent it's different. I think I might have tried to avoid it. We had a conservative, I mean, a well-identified conservative, who was a National Committee man, along with a very well-identified, even more conservative woman. And the then National Committee man said, I don't want to do that anymore. And so a fellow that was even more conservative than the fellow that was in, he decided to run. And I said, no way, we can't have that. We've got to really kind of move things more to the center. And really the only one that could have beat him was me. Mm. And so I ran. I don't know how long I'm going to hang on. Nothing I needed for my ego, nothing I coveted particularly. It's just that I want to keep my party more toward the center the best I know how.
Does the Oregon delegation stick together pretty much?
Well, they're all pretty new. Of course, I know the National Committee woman, known her for a great number of years. Both the National Committee man and committee woman were changed in June when we had our state convention and had elections. And Craig Berkman was a National Committee man as a result because he was state chairman. But then now, about 2 weeks ago or 10 days ago, we elected a new chairman. So the new chairman became a national committee man. And I knew him. I've known him a long time as well. So when you ask that, we get along together very well. We haven't really exercised who believes in what and how you're going to vote. We haven't, but I don't think we'd be too far apart from one another.
Mm-hmm. How do they determine the number of committee men from a particular state?
It's all the same. Each state has the same. They have a national committee man, a national committee woman, and a state chairman. Mm-hmm. So each state has three. Mm-hmm. And there's territories in there as well. Plus, I'm not quite sure what you call Puerto Rico and Virgin Islands, but American Samoa, Guam, Marianas, Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. So they all have three. It comes up to 165 anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, going back to the 1975 session where we were before, there were a couple other bills that you had. Actually, they were Senate joint resolutions. And I thought I'd ask you about those. First of all, the nature of a joint resolution is what? It's a proclamation?
Yeah, well, if you boil it down, it just said, this is what we think. Mm-hmm. Has no effect in law. You know, it just doesn't have any effect. Mm-hmm. There are some exceptions. You pass a resolution if you want to have a special election or something like that. And there's memorials, which again just say whatever you want to say. You talked about a joint meaning House and Senate, but either body can pass one as well. Mm-hmm. They don't normally aren't all that great.
There was one that you sponsored for the Secretary of State to amend the Oregon Constitution to remove the requirement that legislators be a resident for 1 year preceding election, I presume in their own districts.
Yeah.
And that was left in committee. What was the purpose of that? What was your intent?
The whole idea is to expand the opportunity for people to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't object to that. I do object to when they finally got down to, which now has been changed, fortunately, the last day you can register and vote. I object to that strenuously. But, to make the process a little more open, more available.
Mm-hmm. It didn't have anything to do with the shifting boundaries of districts or anything like that. Then there was another joint resolution directing the Fish Commission to maximize efforts to raise species of salmon that will maximize yield for fishermen, and that was signed by the President and the Speaker. Since that doesn't have any real effect, what was the purpose of that then?
Well, you get a resolution. You don't put a law. But it says the House and the Senate think you guys ought to be doing this.
Uh-huh.
And again, understand that the departments of state government are in the administrative branch of government, not the legislative branch.
Mm-hmm.
So, the legislature can tell agencies of government what to do, but they do that by law.
Right.
Then they change the law. Then you got to do that. The list just says, hey guys, we're not going to tell you what to do, how to do what, but we think you ought to be more fish out there.
Is that sort of a warning to them that if they don't do that, that maybe a law will be passed?
Well, it could be that, or, they're quite intimidated, all agencies, by ways and means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it means if you don't do what we're telling you to do, we're going to cut your budget. So there's a lot of ways to intimidate.
Mm-hmm. Well, going on to some of the other issues in the 75 legislature, adjourned on July 14th after 153 days, so it was a fairly long session, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
There was a 1 cent gas tax that was hiked. Governor Straub wanted a 2 cent hike for highway repair and construction, but that was eventually rejected by the voters. The gas tax is a pretty common vehicle for increasing revenue, isn't it?
Yeah. But always remember, that's dedicated.
Right.
And so That is not a vehicle to raise money for general fund purposes.
Who was head of the highway department at the time? That wasn't Glenn Jackson, was it?
Well, he would have been head of the commission.
Head of the commission, highway commission.
And then there's the department head, which may have been Clabo. But Glenn Jackson had been head of commission chairman for a long time. I finally got him switched over, and we'll get to that maybe. When I became governor, I wanted him to get over to economic development.
Would Glenn Jackson be very involved in this process?
Yes.
This?
Oh, yes. Very. Very. He was an interesting man in many, many, many aspects. I can't think of one like him today. Quite influential. He gave money, but he always kept track. And then he'd call and say, Clark, I gave you your cause, now I got one. And it was fascinating sitting with him. I visited with him, and he always used a speakerphone. And somebody would call. I'm sitting there. Glenn, yeah. Anybody with you? No. He carries on a conversation about whatever he's going to talk about. One of the joys I had with Glenn was that, you know, I was in the rug business. We don't have all those fancy gadgets like speakerphones. But as a governor, I had a speakerphone, and I thought, by George, I'm going to call Glenn Jackson on my speakerphone and talk to him while he talks to me on his speakerphone.
There was also approved a 3-year field burning extension, but neither side was happy about it. There would be a limitation to 50,000 acres being burned after 1977 if it was approved. Was it approved? I can't remember.
I can't recall, but remember we talked about that before, and it was always very controversial.
It was in and out all those
sessions. And when you say neither side, probably it was cut down more than the grass seed industry wanted, but not as much as those who were against field burning. So I suppose with neither side happy, they always say that must be the right formula. But we cured that actually through my administration into the Goldschmidt's administration. But at that time, it was always up there how many acres could be burned. And it was always a very contentious when it came to the floor for debate.
But you were able to solve that problem?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll talk about that then.
We'll talk
sure.
about that.
Postponing all these discussions here. But there was also a measure to toughen parole restrictions on murderers, which failed to pass. There were two conference committees on that issue, but they couldn't agree. Capital punishment was the main issue, and it revolved around the Marquette murder.
Which?
The Marquette murder.
That one I don't recall. I do recall there was a murder that got out, paroled, I suppose, and then murdered someone else. And I remember when they picked him up, where they found him, they shot him where no man should be shot, which everyone thought was a pretty good solution to the whole problem. I think I've said to you before, plaintiff's attorneys really would not let anything get through the legislature that that would make it easier for their clients to be convicted. And the things that would go through were things that were loophole-ish kind of things so that they make their job easier. And that's still true today, and that was true when I started in 1959. Don't ask me why, it just happens to be that way. Well, oh, it sounds partisan, but all during this period of time, with a rare, with a,